Okay, if we can move on to our next session, which is the trustee activities. And as I noted earlier, Michelle, as the chairman of trustees, is an apology. He tried really hard to be here as his last meeting as chairman, however, he could not manage that. As I've said, instead we have Sir Callum McCarthy, who is a London-based trustee. And Sir Callum has certainly attended a number of our meetings in the past, so we welcome him back. Perhaps just a couple of introductory comments from me and what Richard briefed me on yesterday, given that the last trustees meeting was in May, so some considerable time ago, and the next one, I think I'm right in saying, is in 3 weeks' time, the focus of this report today is probably more on the future than in the past, but we have in our background papers for reading the minutes of both the meeting of trustees and the due process oversight committee from their last May meeting. But I think that probably on that note, and I know Callum has been scribbling some notes himself, that I hand straight over to Sir Callum, Richard and Samantha, I think, who has joined us up here as well, to provide us with more insight on the trustees' activities. Sir Callum.
Joanna, thank you very much. Can I just start by repeating what Joanna said about Michelle's apologies? Michelle actually has got to go to a meeting of the monitoring board, which is something he has to do, for not explained what his main responsibility there is in the moment. But I know that he has always appreciated the meetings of this council and was particularly sorry not to be able to be here at what would have been his last meeting. But it's not just a formal apology, it's a very real apology from Michelle.
And Sir Callum. Just to let you know, I read out the bit of his email that referred to the council earlier on.
Let me just go through some of the big issues that have been concerning the trustees. The first one is Brexit. IFRS is an international institution, but it happens to be in the UK, and Brexit will have a number of implications for it. Most important, I think, is something which is still completely up in the air, which is going to be what is the UK immigration policy in relation in a post-Brexit world, where there have been a number of warm statements of hope rather than anything else in terms of the British government in its various forms. It says that they are keen to make sure that highly skilled people are still able to come and work in the UK. That is clearly a sensible position for them to have, but it is a position that is not in any way nailed down. And since it is crucial to the work of the IFRS that we are able to attract able people to come and work for the board and for the foundation itself, that is the biggest uncertainty. But there are also a number of other uncertainties. There's the questions of the balance of influence within the EU after the departure of the UK from the EU. There is a question of a narrow interest of payments and what will be the payment structure after the UK contribution to the EU budget no longer applies, whenever that date is. But again, the question of the UK's contribution to the EU budget is one of the vexed questions in negotiation. And there is also a question of the UK authorisation process that will be adopted for future standards once we've left. So there are some big issues there which we have to think about, and where most of the answers are at the moment clear as mud. But that is the position that we face. There is one particular aspect of this, which is that we are faced with the question of location. The lease of 30 Cannon Street falls due next year. We either have to renew it or find new accommodation. We are pursuing both of those very carefully. So some future date, we will either be in Cannon Street or in the City of London, or in Canary Wharf, which are the three options, essentially. whatever it is, we will do it on the basis of a lease that will have a break clause after 5 years in case the decision is made that in 5 years' time it is, or within 5 years, it is necessary to move the foundation to reflect the new position within Europe. So all we're doing is spreading our bets as much as we can. The biggest issue, which I think the trustees have, or a series of issues, are basically personnel issues. The most important of those is to procure the appointment of Michel's successor as chairman of the trustees. This is something that has been pursued in an extraordinarily careful way with a process which I think would withstand any investigation of due process for the last year. The reason why Michel is actually going to the meeting of the monitoring board is to take the candidate that we have identified so that he or she or the candidate can be interviewed by the monitoring board. I believe that the candidate is a person of outstanding ability, and if all goes well as it should, that person will come to the next meeting of the trustees in Sao Paulo in 3 weeks' time, where I would be astonished if the trustees did not appoint him by acclaim. So that's where we stand, but that is clearly an extraordinarily important thing. We've also been concerned. We have no less than 7 of the trustees leaving, including a number of people who chair committees. And one of the things that has occupied many of us as trustees has been the identification of suitable candidates and recruiting those candidates to replace them. That has been done, I think, well. We have now done it for all the people. There are still little bits of our extraordinarily onerous conflicts and reputational checking, which is still to be completed on one or two of those candidates. And we have the task of making sure that the monitoring board, who have the position of looking at them, does that, which I hope they will do sometime next month. But that has taken a lot of time and very important. There is one other aspect of that, I think, that we are very conscious of. It has not been a clever thing of the foundation to have to replace 7 trustees and a chairman in one go. And one of the things that we need to do is to organise the timing of future changes in trustees so that we don't have that cliff edge of such a large replacement in one go. And we will come forward with proposals to make sure that that happens. The last and important aspect of personnel that has occupied quite a lot of time is finding a new executive director to be Yale's replacement. We're well advanced on the process of that, though it won't be completed until, first of all, we have gone through the candidates, identified those whom we really want to pull out of the shortlist and put them in front of Hans, Michel, and the new chairman, because clearly the relationship between the executive director and the Hans as chairman of the board and the new chairman of the trustees is an important one. But I would hope that that, again, would be done by Christmas. The last thing I would talk about, would mention, is that in terms of the various things that are described of the papers that we took in May, the one which in some ways I think is the most interesting one, which Hans referred to before, and which there's going to be a further discussion of, is the paper on reputation. In many ways, that paper was encouraging, because in all sorts of ways, the majority of opinion gave the foundation and the board and our work a clean bill of health. I think there are some very interesting questions there about the tension which is absolutely inherent in the work we do between due process and due process which listens to opinion, which looks at them, listens to opinion, which persuades people that their comments have been weighed carefully and impartially. And on the other hand, the question of speed. It is for any of us an interesting question about whether an insurance standard really does require more than 12 years to come through. And the answer may well be it does, but there are some interesting questions there. And I also think that it reflects something which the trustees are increasingly concerned about, in the sense of not concerned with worry, but concerned with, because they think it is an important set of issues to address, which is the question of the future programme, the timing of that programme, and the discipline required to make sure that when we say we will do something by a certain time, we actually produce it by that time. And it's very taken by Paul's comment and question about the length of time that we had given ourselves for a number of issues. And there is some benefit in constructing disciplines for all of us in terms of making clear where our priorities are, and then if we change them, explaining why, what are our priorities, why those have changed. And that, I think, is something that the trustees will spend more time on and have spent more time on, and is a good development. And those, I think, are the main issues which have occurred and which will continue to preoccupy the trustees, though I won't be one of them.
Thank you, Sir Callum. And of course, we tomorrow have a discussion on this reputation survey and are looking at the recommended at the moment staff action points to take to that November meeting. So our ability to have some input or advice to the staff around that. So I think it's very topical that Sir Callum should touch on that particular aspect so that we can just think about that tomorrow as well. Richard, further comments from you?
Yes, good afternoon. I'll talk a bit about the due process oversight committee, but first I'd just like to say I'm very sorry I won't be here tomorrow, mainly because I won't be able to hear the debate about the reputation survey, although Samantha Sargent, who worked very closely with me on this, will be able to, but also because I've got to get up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning to get to Madrid, so it's not all fun. Due process oversight committee. Due process oversight committee. The last meeting was in May, and you have the notes of that meeting, which go on the website. That was the third public meeting of the committee. We had more people actually physically attend. I think we had about four people physically attended. We didn't broadcast that one live. We did it on a delayed broadcast on the website. The next one in São Paulo, we do plan to broadcast live. And we think it's really still very important and healthy that those meetings are now in public. The key issues that we discussed are in the note that you have. I won't dwell on very many of those, other than to observe that insurance contract standard was something that took up quite a lot of time at that meeting, and the committee is clear that it wants to continue to keep an eye on the due process surrounding the implementation of the standard. We also had a due process life cycle review, which is a very important part of the process on the conceptual framework project. The next meeting, it's the last of the year, and there are a series of key reports that we have to put to the committee annually, so we're picking up some of those. Notably, the review of activities and functions of advisory groups. Every year, we put a paper to the committee that sets out what those advisory groups have done during the year and how effective they've been. That's a requirement of the handbook. There's something which on the agenda is called Reporting Protocol General Reports. This is another requirement of the handbook. We have to set out circumstances in which we have put papers on the website not within the appointed time. I can't remember how many days it is, but papers for the board meeting are supposed to be on the website a number of days before the meeting. In the rare circumstances we don't achieve that, we have to report that. And an update of the activities of the education initiative. So those will all be on there. Another look at insurance contracts, just to keep up to speed on that, in particular the progress that's been made on the transition resource group, and the regular update on technical activities. The last big issue that's on the agenda for this time is a proposal to review the due process handbook. The last review of the handbook was started in 2012 and finished in 2013. We think it's appropriate to undertake a further review. It is also something that we believe is important given the results of the reputation survey, which Callum has already alluded to. This is a proposal to the committee. They may not agree with me, but we propose that we should undertake the review, focusing in particular on making sure that the handbook is easy to navigate. At the moment, when I want to find something, I have to start on page one and read through until I can find it. So getting it in an order which is easier to navigate would be helpful. Removing some of the anomalies. There are job titles in there that we don't actually have anymore, so we need to sort those things out. And in particular, spend some time on looking at whether our process for processing comments is fit for purpose in a technological environment. Are we doing enough to facilitate the ability to make comments through technological means? I think we probably are, but we do need to look at that. So the objective is not to rewrite the handbook. It is to evolve. We will consult on that publicly, and we'll make sure that you're aware of how that goes, assuming that it's approved by the committee.
Okay. Any other comments from nothing further from you, Callum or Richard? Okay. Are there questions from advisory council members? Am I right in saying that we don't fit into that advisory group review because we're a standing committee as opposed to... Yes. Oh, did you hear that, everybody? We're far too important, he said. But I thought that was the case, that because we're not a standard one. Okay. Or a set up one. Any questions or comments? Nobody's got... But I thank both Sir Callum and Richard for that, and certainly in terms of thinking about what the future agenda is. And Sir Callum, I hadn't realised that this was your last meeting as well, and that your term as a trustee was coming to an end. So I personally would like to say thank you to you for your contribution to the Advisory Council, as well as to the Foundation, but to the Advisory Council. As I said, you have been here a number of times, and I've certainly appreciated both the dialogue here and the dialogue I've had with you when I've been at a trustee's meeting. So thank you for your contribution and good luck. And so on that note, I think we will move on to our next subject, which is on the publication of Better Communication. And we have, I think I'm right in saying, Mariella and Rachel here to talk to us about this. You have a copy of it on your desk. It is hot off the press. And as I said, and I will thank Rachel and Mariella, and I did not have to bribe them for this, for putting a New Zealand company as your first case study. So on that note, I'll hand over to you two.